you'd like to follow along, we'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he had purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every deed, as it is written. He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of the service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Good morning. It's great to see everyone here this morning. All these kids, it's amazing. Santa Claus brings them out, doesn't he? He just does. So great to see all these kids. If you're worshiping with us online, welcome to you as well. We're going to do something a little bit different at this point, and I'm going to be speaking on behalf of our elders. We're going to talk about our church finances, our results for 2021, our budget for the next year, and then after this, Doug will present our morning lesson. No doubt you look from time to time to this board to my left. You see how we're doing on attendance, how we're doing on finance. And for the past couple of weeks, we've just done really well. A couple of weeks ago, we had a contribution of over $20,000. This past week, $7,300. And so we've been really doing well in that regard. Our actual average for the 12 months ended November 30, the 12 months ended November the 30, our actual average weekly contribution has been $7,127, really well. And this does not include the special contributions that we had last December, about this time last year, last December and January. It does not include them. These are just our normal contributions for the past 12 months. If you bring up the next slide, Alan, you can see, I want to talk about our note, the note we have, the debt we have. On the slide, you can see that what we've done in paying off the debt and where we stand as of November 30 this year. As you know, in July 2016, we took out a note to build some classrooms over this way and this hallway out here, to upgrade our sprinkler system. And the original note, as you can see, was $1,650,000. The monthly payment on that note is $8,567. That's the note we pay each and every month on that debt. We started with that $1,650,000 amount. As of this time last year, we owed a little over $1,097,000. As of November 30 this year, we owe $961,855. So we paid over $135,000 on this note this past year, and over $688,000 since inception. So we're making really good progress on this note. And also, I remind you, earlier this year we announced that we renegotiated this loan with another bank, and this gave us more favorable terms, and it'll help us pay off the debt that much sooner. As we do about this time every year, we're going to have a special contribution to help us with this debt, and that will be next Sunday. The amount contributed in December, over and above our budget is $27,420 each month. Any amounts given over that will be used to reduce the debt. So we hope you will prayerfully consider what you can do in maybe increasing your normal contribution next week to help us get rid of more of this debt. Please consider what you can do to help us in this regard. Proverbs 22:7 tells us that the borrower is a slave to the lender. So we're so looking forward to the time when we can get rid of this debt and put this behind us and use this money for other worthy purposes. On the next slide, you can see that our weekly contribution, as I mentioned, for the 12 months ended November 30 was $7,127. We are proposing a budget this year of $7,297, which equates to a 2% increase over the previous 12 months. And it's certainly an amount which we can reach. The next slide, please, Alan. So let's talk about the budget for 2022 and the different areas we propose to support. And I realize that if you're watching online, you probably can't make this out. And if that's the case and you want a copy of our budget, please let us know and we'll mail you one. Those of you here today, we have copies out in the foyer. And if you want a copy, please pick one up for your own purposes. Our salaries for our ministers, $124,506. Christian education, $3,000, which includes VBS, our class improvements, literature and supplies, gospel events, such as special speakers. Our youth, total $10,000. Now, we have that broken down into high school, middle school, and our super youth. And we appreciate so much, Devante, the work you're doing with our young people, and in fact, the week after Christmas, they're heading to Huntsville on a youth camp. So we wish you well in that, and thank you again, Devante, for the work you're doing with our young people. Mission, $7,800. There are 12 of these that we support. You'll recognize many of them. Short Mountain, that's well used by our young people for summer camp. Prison ministry. Ministry over on Raines Avenue, the old Raines Avenue Church of Christ. And this ministry helps recently released inmates as they transition back into society. Just this last year, they built a dorm for women to help women as they come out of prison, incarceration, to help them transition back into society. Dorian Flynn, he's been here before and talked to us about the work in South Africa. $7,000 for local missions includes things like the Gladeville Festival. We're going to be in the parade, as Jim mentioned last week, or next week in Mount Juliet. Earlier this year, we went over and fed the sports team, the football team at Wilson Central, to let them know about our church and what we're all about. And we also have a separate line item for Community Day. We ordinarily would have had that this past year. We weren't able to do that due to the pandemic, but we're planning to have it again this year, and so we'll be talking more about that after the first of the year. $12,000 for benevolence. That's primarily financial help to our members and other people who need help. Our food pantry, which is well used. $31,000 for utilities, $27,000 for building and maintenance, $5,000 for building supplies, $2,500 for kitchen supplies. our well-used kitchen. We seem to be using that all the time. So this is to cover plates and utensils and other things we need to maintain that. Technology, $7,500, which helps maintain our computer and our sound system and these screens behind me. Our insurance on our building and our bus, $16,872 a year. And the bus itself, maintenance, $2,500. The building note, which we've already talked about, $102,805 a year. Payroll taxes, $14,000, which we are required to pay. And so our total budget for 2022 is $379,483, or $7,297 per week. It's certainly an amount we can do, and if you have any questions about any of this, please let one of the elders know. I heard something years ago, and I mentioned it before, but it resonates with me. Maybe it will with you as well. We are blessed abundantly in this country. We're blessed with the financial means to live our lives, and for the most part, to live them well. So at the end of the day, when our lives are over, what have we done with the money that God has blessed us with? Well, for part of it, what we've spent, we lose. What we've saved, we lose. No, I'm sorry. What we've spent, we've used. What we've saved, we lose. And what we've given away, we get to take that with us. There's coming a time when all we have left, when our lives are over, is what have we done with the resources that God has given to us, especially our money. Many scriptures relating to giving in the Bible, a couple from the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy, Moses writes, "We should give generously, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do." Malachi 3:10, this prophet writes that God tells us, "Test me in your giving and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." All of us need to consider our giving, and especially for next week. And let's see if we can really further reduce this debt that is hanging over our head. Thank you so much for your attention, and now Doug will come with our morning lesson.
Good morning. So thankful you are here this morning. So thankful for Donnie to come and speak with us. We appreciate that. And if you're joining us live stream, we want to acknowledge your attendance as well. We want to start with a special prayer for Donnie King, who just got diagnosed with liver cancer. He lives in Gordonsville, and he's 72 years old. And his life is pretty shaken by this recent news he's just received. So let's have a prayer on his behalf at this time. His name is Donnie King. Father in heaven, Lord, we approach your throne with thanksgiving, just telling you how much we appreciate you and are thankful that you are our God. Thank you for the great sacrifice that Christ made for us on the cross. We thank you for your Spirit who helped inspire the men to bring us the information that we can be saved by. Father, we thank you so much for the church here at Center Chapel, the congregation that meets together, and we just pray we can be a light in this community. Right now, we want to bring a name before you, Donnie King. We realize that he just received news that has shaken his life up and taken away his peace. And we just pray that you will provide him with peace during this time, give him comfort. We pray that your will be done in his life, and that if he's not a Christian, we pray that he becomes a Christian. And we just hope and pray that he can be comforted during this difficult time. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hopefully you still remember the text that was so capably read for us in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. I encourage you strongly as we move through this lesson that you keep that text in the back of your mind. And with that said, I encourage you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. We'll read a bit of the context here in a moment. But when it comes to money and it comes to wealth and it comes to finances, your possessions, your resources, Jesus mentioned wealth more than he did heaven and hell combined. So it is a very important subject that even our Lord recognized. Now, Jesus usually mentioned it in the context of warnings or of cautioning us not to allow it to become our master and not to put it first before our God. And certainly, that is what we always want to recognize and remember, that we don't want money to become our master. But when we talk about finances and we talk about money in the church, it doesn't always have to come with negative emotions. It always doesn't have to come with negative feelings. It's not always a bad thing to talk about our money and our finances. So when we speak about money in the broader context scripturally, we want to be applying it in a wise way that is always glorifying God with it. Obviously, that was just mentioned in the lesson that was just given to us or the presentation for us. Here at Center Chapel, we have a budget. We have a budget. We have needs that need to be met, but that is not going to be my point with this lesson. My point this morning is going to be primarily concerning how we use our money and how our heart is applied to this. So when you talk about the use of money, it is a spiritual issue. And I want us to always recognize that. The use of your money is a issue that concerns the heart. It's a spiritual issue. And that's what we get from Philippians chapter 4 by the Apostle Paul. That's what Paul is addressing. In Philippians 4, backing up in the context, beginning in verse 15, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." Now, who are they sending aid to? This is the Apostle Paul. What is Paul's job? To go and share the gospel with the world, with the Gentiles, those who are lost. That's Paul's mission, and this church sent aid to Paul, sent support to Paul to fulfill his mission, his task at hand, the job that God had given him. In verse 17, he starts using banking terminology, but then I want you to notice the spiritual terminology that he uses next. So verses 17 through 19, "Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." That's the banking terms that Paul's using there. Verse 18, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." That's the spiritual application that Paul is mentioning or applying to their giving, their offering. So this sacrifice, this gift, was a sweet-smelling aroma. So Paul is not focused on receiving gifts, having his needs met. Instead, he is focused on the marvelous value the generosity brings to their spiritual account. So at the church at Philippi, their spiritual bank account is in good shape. And Paul even goes on to say, "I have the receipt to prove it. I have received all and am full." That's his receipt. "I have proof that your spiritual bank account is doing really well at this time." So their use of money was great in value because it was a sweet-smelling aroma. So Paul doesn't see this sacrifice, this gift, their exchange of money or funds or material goods as mere money or finances. The way that Paul sees their giving is as a sacrifice. So when we talk about sacrificial offerings, we primarily have five in the Old Testament. I have four of them listed for you, and then we'll get to the last one. So the five Old Testament sacrifices that the Israelites were required to make to God are found in the book of Leviticus. We don't have time to go through all of those, but there is the sin offering, the trespass offering, the burnt offering, the meat offering, which is also the grain offering because there's no meat mentioned in that passage. And then finally, we have, lastly, the peace offering. Now, three of these five offerings are called a sweet-smelling aroma to God. The two that are not called a sweet-smelling aroma to God are the sin and the trespass offering, which have to do with sin itself, which reveals to us God's displeasure towards sin. It's not a sweet-smelling aroma to Him. But the ones that were are the burnt grain and peace offering, which indicates to us God's satisfaction in reconciliation, restoration, and relationship. And the last one I want to mention, or all of these sacrifices find their fulfillment in Jesus' great sacrifices. So let me mention that again because it's important. All of the sacrifices in the Old Testament, the primary ones, the sin, trespass, burnt, meat, and peace offering, all have their fulfillment in Jesus' great sacrifice on the cross. It removed sin. It gave us a new life. It took away the guilt of sin. It gave us peace between us and God and our relationship with Him. So all of these, again, have their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. With that said, the one that I want to focus on now is this peace offering. So when it came to this specific offering, it could be given to God in three different ways: as a thanksgiving offering, as a vow made to God, or as a free will voluntary offering on the offerer's behalf to God. And the uniqueness of this specific sacrifice, out of all five of those sacrifices, this is the one that the parts of the animal that were not burnt on the altar, they were then shared with the priest and the worshiper, the offerer itself, in a thing called a fellowship meal. So the peace offering was the only sacrifice where you got to partake of a meal with the priest who offered it, and also, since it's being offered to God, you got to share and partake of this communal meal with God. So then all three parties have this communal feast with each other in peace. This is a beautiful picture of unity, restoration, and reconciliation, that because of sin being removed, hostility is no longer present, and in its place is peace. So it's a meal celebrating peace with God, from God, and of God. Romans 5:1, Romans 1:7, and Philippians 4:7. In the new covenant, our communal meal takes place when we take of the Lord's Supper. We partake of the Lord's Supper because of the peace we have in God's Son, the Prince of Peace. Now let's begin to close this out. What does this have to do with your offering or special contribution that I want you to focus on next week? Or you can start today or this month in general. Your sweet-smelling sacrifice will primarily go towards mission work, which is about sharing the gospel of peace, providing those who are far off, who are estranged from God, the opportunity to commune with God in peace. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 63. 1 Kings 8, verse 63, and this will be our last text. Solomon is making a dedication to the temple for the people, and I want you to notice what he does when he's making these offerings or these sacrifices to God. Verse 62, then the king and all Israel offered sacrifices before the Lord, Notice verse 63. Notice verse 63 in 1 Kings 8:63. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 bulls. Let that sink in for a moment. And 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. So with Solomon's tremendous contribution, everybody was able to share in this wonderful or marvelous communal feast with God in peace. As much as you and I are enjoying the peace that now rules in our hearts through Christ's tremendous sacrifice, I encourage you, put your money, your offering, towards helping others enjoy that peace as well. This morning, if you are not having peace with God, if you do not have that peace that passes understanding, that peace that God provides to us through that great sacrifice that Christ made, we encourage you to become a Christian. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're a person and your life is shaken too at the moment. Maybe you're in conflict. Maybe you don't have reconciliation. Maybe you're in need of restoration. You have an opportunity to make things right with God. And then once we share in this communal feast, you can know for certain that you have peace with God. Your opportunity is now as we stand and we sing.